Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four talented, exciting, and experienced players of the game. It's always a pleasure to welcome back that multi-talented comedian, Paul Merton. And sitting beside him, there's the multi-skilled player of this game, Clement Freud. And sitting on my left, there's that lovely, clever comedian, Jenny Eclair. And sitting beside her, one of Ireland's greatest gifts to the recent comedy circuit in our country, that is Dara O'Brien. And I'd like you to welcome all four of them. Thank you. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And sitting beside me is Janet Staplehurst. She's going to keep the score for me. She's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Watford Palace Theatre, which has been recently refurbished, and we have a beautifully refurbished audience in the... have come to patronise their new theatre. And, of course, everybody knows that Watford is a little bit north of London, and to the people of Watford, there's nothing north of them. And and they are going to cheer us on our way as we start the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject I have in front of me here is bodybuilding. Could you tell us something about bodybuilding in this game, starting now?
Yes, I'm a bit of an expert on the subject of bodybuilding. I was Mr. Universe in 1984, which gives you some idea of the rest of the competition. I think bodybuilding is perhaps a little bit fetishistic. You see these big muscles being built up by these individuals, but it's what's inside that counts. How well is your digestive system coping with the modern food that we eat these days? That's the kind of part of your body you should be building up. Don't worry about biceps and triceps and all that kind of stuff. It's a waste of time. You just end up having a major heart attack when you're about 48 because you're full of steroids and you look ridiculous. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger was once described as a condom full of walnuts. And I think that's a sort of look that many people are trying to achieve in this particular brand of sport, if indeed you can call it that. I'm not sure it should belong to the sporting world.
Clement, you're challenged.
He said sport twice, but
no,
added
he
ing.
He said sport
but
and sporting.
Added ing after I challenged.
Oh, they'll say anything to get out of it. So, Paul, you had an incorrect challenge. Mm. So you get a point for that, and you keep the subject. And there are 16 seconds still available. Bodybuilding starting now.
Dr. Frankenstein, as played by Colin Clive in the movie of that name in 1931, played the part beautifully.
Clement challenge.
Two plays.
Two plays. He played the part and played it good. Please don't groan. Those are the rules of the game. Clement, this time you had a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. You take over the subject, and there are 8 seconds available starting now.
There are two ways of bodybuilding, and I like starting at the bottom with the feet, after which you get knees, thighs, waist...
Whoever is speaking in this game when the whistle goes gets an extra point, and this occasion it was Clement Freud. So at the end of the round, Clement has 2 points, Paul has one, and the other two have yet to speak. we're going to hear from Jenny Eclair now. Jenny, something which I think is pretty close to your heart at the moment, it's moving house. Could you tell us something about moving house in this game, starting now?
Just a month ago, I moved house. Having lived in the same Georgian slum for 15 years, we up sticks, sofas, washing machines, toasters, kettles, pots, pans, shirts, shoes, socks, pens, computers, tables, rugs, mirrors, bathroom mats, pants, all sorts of things. Half a mile up the road away nearer the mental hospital. I thought the whole thing would be terribly traumatic, but some nice men with muscly arms helped me whilst I sobbed and rubbed doorknobs. I'm sorry, house, I'm leaving you. I've fallen for another pad with underfloor heating and a wet room. So ta-ra, and thanks for the memories. Do you know, I'm actually very happy now.
Yes. You did. That was the first time that, for a long time, that that has happened in the show. Someone started with the subject and kept going for the 60 seconds without being hesitation, repetition, or deviation, or being challenged. But Jenny, you get a point.
Is that all?
For speaking when the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. So you have 2 points, and you're equal with Clement Freud in the lead. Dara, Will, let's hear from you now. Oh, here's a lovely subject for you. It's so apt, isn't it, looking at you, Dara? It's Peter Pan. So would you tell us something about Peter Pan in this game, starting now?
Frankly, much of the sheen of the J.M. Barrie story of Peter Pan came off me recently for me when Leslie Grantham was caught pleasuring himself on a camera dressed as Captain Hook. It would be a strange woman indeed who developed some sort of pirate fetish that they needed Leslie to...
Jenny, you chat.
I'm terribly sorry, but it was making me feel sick, a little bit sick, that story. And he did say Leslie twice.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Yes, so you've got the subject, the correct challenge. I think it's as well you took it away from me, the way it was going. So you have 44 seconds to tell us something about Peter Pan, starting now.
Everyone wants to do the panto Peter Pan, because you get to fly, imagine that.
Clement Freud challenge.
I don't.
You'd be a marvellous Hook.
You've turned it down, haven't you? He's turned it down. They're sick offering it to him, yeah.
Actually, I think you would make a rather interesting Captain Hook. I really do, yes.
I was offered Nana.
Anyway, what we do in this game is when someone does an interruption like that and it's so effective and gets such a big response from the audience, I give them a bonus point. So, Clement, you have a bonus point for your particular remark, but Jenny was interrupted, so she gets a point for that. She keeps the subject of Peter Pan. 40 seconds still available, starting now.
Imagine being up there in the rafters. Mind you, if you were Wendy in the United, you'd have to make sure you put your pants on, wouldn't you? Otherwise, the audience below would look up and think, oh, crikey, look at that. Ah! Horrid. It was written by J.M. Barrie. Am I allowed to say that after Dara said it? Oh, good. And recently there was a film starring the cheekbones of Johnny Depp. He's lovely. About the whole story. You know, it's all quite sad because the original boy that it was based on committed suicide, jumped in front of a train. Did you know that? You can go see the film.
Paul challenged.
He thought he could fly.
Have you got a challenge when the rules are just a minute?
No.
You haven't. Well, we'll give you a bonus point because the interruption was lovely and the audience enjoyed it. But Jenny was also, because she was interrupted, gets another point. And she still has Peter Pan and 10 seconds available starting now.
There's also a lovely bronze statue of the lad in Kensington Gardens. What's very sad these days is so...
Poor challenge.
Sad.
Yes, you did say sad before.
How sad.
Mm, sad story. So, Paul, you've cleverly gone in with 3 seconds... Yes. It is the rules of the game, Jenny. 3 seconds on Peter Pan, starting now.
Remember, if you believe in fairies, you must clap very loudly.
Yes, so, Paul, your request for applause increased your reaction there, and you get the point for speaking as the whistle went. And Jenny, Claire's now in the lead, one ahead of you, and two ahead of Clement, and... Clement, will you take
the topic?
Can you take the next round, Clement? Oh, north of Watford. They don't think very much of north of Watford. So, will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
In olden days, when it was thought that the world was round.
Has there been developments since then?
Paul, I think that deserves a bonus point, but as Clement technically wasn't deviating... you can keep going in different directions according to your particular attitudes to life. And so Clement was interrupted. He gets the subject of north of Watford, 55 seconds, starting now.
The Flat Earth Society always believed that Watford was the end of the planet. When you got to Watford, you fell off. Which was pretty hard for Dunstable, Luton, Amersham, Aylesbury, let alone Manchester, Birmingham, Hull, Derby. I like north of Watford very much indeed because the motorway, M1, before you get to the one that has five.
Two repetitions of one.
One, yes.
No, didn't you?
Different kind of one, but it is the same word, so yeah. There we are. Paul, a correct challenge. Another point to you. 23 seconds are available. North of Watford.
About 10 years ago, I was at Hemel Hempstead Station, and I saw this huge sign advertising a discotheque, and it said in big red letters, "Hard luck, London, Watford's done it again." And I thought, it made me chuckle, because I thought it's a wonderful chutzpah. An area can say to itself, we are not going to be dwarfed by our mighty metropolitan city ahead of us. No, because we're Watford, we're proud, and we're out.
Come on, you're challenged.
Three wheels.
Yes, we're Watford, we're proud.
Well, yes, that's true.
That's true, yes.
Makes it a slogan, though. No, we're Watford, we're out and we're proud.
But in just a minute, it doesn't work.
No.
So Clement has a correct challenge. 3 seconds. He's got in with 3 seconds to go, but you don't groan this time. No, right. 3 seconds.
But if they're out and they're proud, then they're very happy.
3 seconds, Clement, starting now.
Glasgow, Edinburgh and Aberdeen.
Poor challenge.
Well, this is just a list of place names, isn't
no,
it?
No, they're north of Watford.
Yeah, but you didn't establish that, did you?
In 3 seconds. And it's the subject.
Right. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, Clement.
Benefit?
Sometimes you say you don't get it. I've given it to you this time. And you've still got 1 second on north of Watford starting now.
Edinburgh.
That was hesitation.
That was hesitation. So you've got a third of a second on north of Watford starting now.
Edinburgh!
Paul, it's your turn to begin. So the subject now is what I think of my name. It's a strange subject, a little worth a moment for thought for you. And you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I don't like my name very much. I would prefer to be called George Pip or William Seed or Roderick House, anything like that. I think Paul's a rather unusual name. I don't think you can do much with it. Paul's name is an odd name because I nearly repeated that, of course I didn't because I put an S on the end of it. I would think if I had a choice of any name, I would pick Nicholas Parsons because there is a name that stands for everything that we stand for in this country today. Two stands. I emphasised the second one in a different way.
I know. And you've got that little feeling of sympathy which is running through the audience there. I did appreciate that. Yeah. It's very warm and giving of you. Thank you. But Jenny, you buzz first.
He said stand
twice. That's why he did indeed. So 35 seconds available. What I think of my name, Jenny, starting now.
I'm Jenny with a Y, not an I, because then it would be Ianny and it would be ridiculous. I don't mind my name. There weren't many Jennies in my class at school. Lots of Susans and Janes. No, Eclair I made up, of course, when I was 17, pretending to be French in a disco in Blackpool. But there's a story I don't really want to go into because it would embarrass my mother, whose name is June. What a ridiculous name when she was born in May. Her mother wasn't really thinking. I think she was postnatally depressed or something. Didn't really come round for a month and then thought, well, I'll call her whatever it was. The seasonal.
So, Jenny's playing it like a real trooper, isn't she?
I was rather dull. I think you should take a point off for dullness.
No. So, Jenny got the extra point, speaking as the whistle went. She's in second place, 1 point behind Paul Merton, and he's 2 points ahead of Clement Freud and that's Dario Brin in that order. And, Jenny, it's your turn to begin again. And the subject now is wearing glasses. And I should explain to our listeners, Jenny does actually wear glasses. I know, you can see that, but the listeners can't.
I'm glad you told me, Nick.
On occasions.
Will this give Jenny a unique perspective on the topic?
You never know. It could create something, yes. Jenny, you have 60 seconds, starting now.
How extraordinary that I should get this topic, considering that at the age of 8 I was diagnosed as short-sighted. My parents thought something was wrong when I blundered up the wrong garden path and lived with a complete family of strangers for 6 months without noticing. First time I put on a pair of glasses, I screamed in horror. I had no idea I was so plain. The great thing about being myopic is everything is just a fabulous blur. And then when you put your specs on, it pulls everything to focus, and you know.
Clement challenge.
She said family twice. I let her go on a bit, but...
Yes, you did repeat family right at the beginning.
So you let me get on, so you get in with, what, 10 seconds left? You're fiendish, Clement.
No, he's got 27 seconds.
Oh, right, I might get it back.
Somebody could have challenged right away on that, but they didn't. So 27 seconds, Clement, for you on wearing glasses starting now.
The Warings were probably the best designers of glasses that anyone has come across. Richard and David, as well as Benjamin and Job, actually did to my...
Don, are you challenged?
On the grounds of a mercy killing.
Yes, so what's your challenge with the rules of just a minute, though?
I think you call it a hesitation.
I think I would call it hesitation, Darla. And so you have 16 seconds. You tell us something about wearing glasses starting now.
Very difficult for me to speak on this topic, having... Relatively gone.
Poor
child. It was a hesitation, then.
It was a hesitation, I know, but...
It was dramatic inflection.
It's because he hasn't played it so often, I don't know whether to be generous to him, but I...
I was going...
Yeah, but you see,
I was
then,
going nowhere, right?
But then I'm being ungenerous to Paul, aren't I?
But it was me who buzzed.
No, it wasn't dying. Paul's light came
Paul
on.
First.
So, Paul, the audience would like to hear a little bit more from Dara. He is trailing a lot. So, he's got another point, and you have 12 seconds, Dara, on wearing glasses starting now.
The one thing that's always kept me from wearing glasses, although I do borrow them from other people, which is almost a compulsion when you don't have your own set, is to go up to other people and go, could I have a...
Paul, a challenge.
A repetition of other people.
Other people, yes, definitely. So you're back in again, you see, Paul, and you... So, you see, justice plays its own part in this game as well, and you've got in with only 4 seconds, which is easy, isn't it? Wearing glasses, starting now.
The big thing about wearing glasses, and I can't emphasise this enough, it's very important, you must...
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went. He has creased his lead at the end of that round over Jenny Eclair and Clement Freud, are equal in second place, and then Dara O'Brien. And we come to Clement Freud to begin again, and that is the subject. No, that is the subject. No, that's ridiculous nonsense I'm talking now. Clement!
You had a rare moment of self-awareness there, did you?
I set myself up for you to come back with these wonderful remarks. How else would we keep the show going without, right? Clement, the subject is my favourite season, starting now.
My favourite season is the asparagus season. It comes in late May, early June, and goes on a little bit into July, and asparagus are...
Oh. Dara...
How can it go on to early June and then still carry on until July?
Jenny's giving you a tip, I take it.
I know. He said asparagus twice, but I thought more interesting.
Do you feel patronised now that Jenny's writing the word asparagus down for you? In case you might have missed it.
The meaning was, not only should she write asparagus, but she also with X2.
America's wrong.
Right. And the audience were actually drawing designs of it in the audience. But anyway, so you've got to correct...
My challenge was equally valid in terms of deviation, but nonetheless, he did say asparagus twice.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, you've got the subject.
Thank you very much.
You've got my favourite season. You've got 48 seconds starting now.
I can never decide if it was 97, 98 when he won the double for the first time.
Clement challenge.
A repetition of 90.
90. Audience... Those are the rules of the game. I'm sorry, Dar, it's a tough game. And the old pros of the game, Clement's played it more often than anybody, his ears are attuned to every little hiccup like that. And I'm afraid I've got to be fair within the rules and see justice played. 24 seconds, Clement, my favourite season, back with you, starting now.
And in my favourite season, I make hollandaise sauce with egg yolks, melted butter... and a little lemon juice, and what a delicious confection that is. I think superior to almost any other contribution from the kitchen which goes with my favourite season's vegetable. There are sprue, which are asparaguses.
Sorry, what's this word, sprue? What is they are sprue? What's that?
It is a small, young, thin asparagus.
Yeah, there's people clapping out here, but they're bluffing because they don't know. They're just saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to look clever, so, you know.
What for the big sprue eaters?
Yeah. So a young asparagus is called a sprue?
A thin, yeah.
There's two people. He obviously gets a lot of sprues up here in Watford.
So what do you think, Nicholas?
I think it's yes.
Do you?
I don't say it with confidence, as you saw from my voice.
There's two people in the audience. Clement might be working them with his foot.
Well, last...
He might have spotted somebody outside. I'm going to say sprue tonight. When I say sprue, it's £5. Go, yeah, like him earlier.
Well, last time when I was in Evesham, where some of the fine asparagus in the country comes from, and I said, could I have a bunch of sprue? They looked at me very strangely, but they gave me something.
Did they? What did they give you?
I don't know.
It sounds a bit... This young, vibrant asparagus, it sounds a bit naughty to me.
I tell you what, if I'm wrong, we're going to get some wonderful letters. But Clement's been looking...
If you can just mark on the envelope, re-sprue...
And Clement's been looking for the benefit of the doubt again, and so he's got it. And
I won the round.
Right. You've got the benefit of the doubt. 20 seconds on my favourite season, starting now.
Football seasons are quite favourite as well. I enjoy watching Premiership as well as Championship.
Jenny challenged.
As well, two as well.
As well. There was as well, as well. Clement always looks as if we're absolutely horrified. It could be correct. But Jenny, it was a correct challenge. 14 seconds, you tell us something about my favourite season starting now.
I like winter because for women like me, it means thick black woolly tights. What a boon after the summer where we have to show off our pasty white legs and sweaty creases. Also, my cheeks go pink with the cold.
So Jenny Eclair was speaking as a whistle when got that extra point for doing so. She's moved forward. In fact, I'll tell you what the situation is, because we're unfortunately moving into the last round. Aww. That's the noise we love to hear.
If you don't make it, we've got it on tape anyway. So.
You're wicked. You're not on tape. We haven't pre-recorded anything. We never do in this game. But if Paul wants to say that to get a laugh, I don't mind. Let me give you the situation as we go into the final round. Paul Merton is still in the lead, but he's only two ahead of Clement Freud, and he's only three ahead of Jenny Eclair, and he's a few ahead of Dara O'Brien. But Dara's got the sympathy, so it didn't matter. But it's a contribution. His contribution has been equal to the rest. His points are a bit lower. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is how to get a good night's sleep. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, first, have a very hot bath and then a lovely big plate of sprue. How wonderful it is to chew on it and lie in there, let the water soak into your skin. It's beautiful as the bathy foam all comes towards you and you chomp on the asparagus and you go, ah, this is young, it's lively, it's sensuous, it's sexy. This is a vegetable that's been brought down its prime of life and brought to my table now, so it's succulent.
Jenny, Charlie.
So sorry. Two boughts.
There were two boughts.
Was there?
Yes. Sorry. Been brought down in the time of life and brought to my table.
Ah, yes.
Yes, yes.
I thought it was bought and brought.
No.
No.
It was bought.
No, I'd know.
You meant to say brought, but you actually said bought.
Oh, so I'm being punished on what I meant to say. I don't care. As long as I get my sprue, I don't care.
So I'll Jenny's ears were attuned and we're into a tight finish here, so I have to be fair and give it to her and say, Jenny, how to get a good night's sleep, 35 seconds, starting now.
Litre of red wine, news night, that's me down for 9 hours. A good night's sleep should be a bit like being in a coma. Nothing should wake you, not even needing a wee at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't need that. That's not my problem. The old man, he's always going...
Paul,
repetition of need.
Yes,
need,
yes. Need. I will give you back, Paul. You obviously wanted this subject so badly.
Oh, don't bring bitterness
into it.
What would you be like, Jenny, if you were competitive? What do you think you'd be like?
Oh, she'd have a good night's sleep.
Yeah, she would, wouldn't she?
Paul, you've got the somebody back, which is good, because the audience enjoy hearing from you. And it's how to get a good night's sleep. 21 seconds starting now.
Cocoa's meant to be particularly effective. Of course, it depends how you make it. Some...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of course.
Yes, you did say of course before.
Did I?
Yeah,
yes.
You did.
So Clement's got him 17 seconds on how to get a good night's sleep starting now.
I consider myself to be a good knight, and I take sleeping pills. Huge quantities of them. At 6 o'clock and then again 3 hours later. And I don't seem to sleep very well. And I can't imagine why this is because of the excellent...
Clement Floyd speaking as a whistle wen, gained that extra point on that occasion, and so he's moved forward. We have a very interesting situation at the end of the round and the end of the contest, because Dara O'Brien, whose value was immeasurable, and...
But if you were to measure it...
The audience would go out saying, wasn't he lovely? And we enjoyed him.
I'm not here as part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Have you checked your contract?
You're here for your contribution, and you're good. And it takes a lot more experience to get the points as well, which you decide. See, right. But the other three, only literally 2 points separated, all three of them. But in order of ascending, Jenny Eclair was just in third place, 1 point behind Clement Floyd, who was just in second place, and 1 point ahead of him was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you're the winner this week. So thank you very much indeed. Again, I must thank our four intrepid players of the game for their marvellous contribution. Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Dara O'Brien and Clement Floyd. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score, keeping it all written down for me, and she's stopwatch, which she ran for me, as well as, of course, blowing that whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds was up. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. We thank our producer, Claire Jones, and we are very grateful to this lovely audience who have come... into the Watford Palace Theatre to cheer us on our way. From the people of Watford, from me, Nicholas Parsons, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye.